for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
We get to all the things that I'm going to be talking about today. We do have some headlines to get to. And I believe that on this Labor Day, Deb Valentine is laboring. Is that right, Deb? Debbie there.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning.
Oh,
we're doing things a little bit differently today.
I guess we are. Yeah, I'm sitting here editing audio. And, well, surprise, surprise,
surprise, surprise, surprise.
Well, good morning.
Good
Monday
morning.
Morning.
I mean, I'm happy
holiday.
That you're laboring today.
Yes, we are both laboring. And the holiday actually created by Congress. Guess what? I just found this out in 1894.
So you did your little research on this, too, because
yes.
I had a whole little thing that I was going to do on Labor Day.
Yes. And Labor Day actually was the brainchild of a union leader here in New York. Well, what became a union? Yeah. So it all started right here in the city.
Oh, you know what? Since you're so up on it, maybe I'll quiz you later.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. We will have a quiz later. What's
right,
the prize? Are we getting a prize?
You have my unending love.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good enough. Thank you, Juliet.
Okay.
All right. We're back at you. All right. Now, in news headlines, this Labor Day Monday morning, the Taliban says they have taken control of Panjshir province. Now, that's north of Kabul in Afghanistan, the province, the last holdout of anti-Taliban forces in the country, the only province the Taliban had not seized during their sweep of Afghanistan last month. Over in Israel, police say they have launched a massive manhunt this morning in northern Israel and the occupied West Bank after six Palestinian prisoners escaped from a high-security facility. Back here in the U.S., President Biden will be in both New York and New Jersey tomorrow. He will tour areas hard hit by the remnants of Ida. Meanwhile, New York's Governor Kathy Hochul has applied for a disaster declaration following devastation from the remnants of Ida. And over in New Jersey, Governor Flynn Murphy said on Saturday night, the death toll, unfortunately, in the Garden State has now reached 27. In Whitestone, Queens, a joint rescue between police and firefighters took place on Sunday. A man fell into a storm drain in Queens. Officials say police responded about 8:05 a.m. to that man who fell into that storm drain near Cross Island Parkway and Whitestone Expressway, and he was rescued and is okay. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. And right now we have a reading of 70 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Tom Note will be along with traffic and transit. I'm Deborah Valentine.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Well, here we are. I'm Juliet Huddy. Happy Labor Day, everybody. I hope you guys aren't laboring. I hope you're listening to the show, relaxing in your nice, comfy bed. And hopefully, if you are, you have the windows open because it's going to be a very nice day today. Let's check out the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. And by the way, Frank is off today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Wednesday. And finally, the guy is taking a bit of a break. Of course, you know you're going to see him pop up on somebody's show. But that's just the way the guy is. But in the meantime, let's go to the weather again from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It's going to be a really nice day today. I mean, we will have partly cloudy skies, but as far as the weather goes, the temperature goes, it'll be 82 degrees. We will see some sun pop out there. There is a slight chance of a rain shower. It doesn't look like it's too probable, though. Tonight, we're going to get down into the 60s, low 60s with mainly clear skies. Tomorrow, picture perfect day. We're going to have lots of sun with a high of around 80 and very low humidity. This might be the day to make your lunch plans. Tomorrow night, clear skies once again. Wednesday, we're looking at some clouds to roll in, but I do still see some sun, partly cloudy skies, stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. But unfortunately, by Wednesday night, we're going to see those thunderstorms start to come in. The chance of rain about 80%. So I would definitely say if you're going to plan for rain, Wednesday night is the night. And that will continue on into Thursday pretty much all day. It'll be overcast with rain showers at times. And the rain showers start to clear up Thursday night. And that will bring us a pretty nice day on Friday, 77 degrees for the high, and Saturday, 78 degrees for a high. I'm looking right now at the weekend. Looks like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to have sunny skies in the upper 70s, around 77, 78 degrees. Now, I know we're a little far off, but still, Let's hope it stays that way. In the meantime, let's get to some, well, actually, you know what? Let's get to the traffic on the sevens before we do anything. I've got a lot of stories to talk about, including some updates on Hurricane Ida. Here's Tom Noe.
Good morning and happy Labor Day. Well, because it's Labor Day, a lot of people obviously off from work today. We anticipate light volume throughout the morning. All the main venues around the region looking good to start the morning. Alternate side parking rules and metered rules are suspended. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process? Streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Find your next great hired and visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Tom Noe from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you very much, Mr. Note. We'll check back with you on the sevens. Let's start with some of the news today, and we're going to start with an Ida update. Hurricane Ida ran up a big and a deadly tab. New York Governor Kathy Hochul was out on Sunday. She says the price tag should run in upwards of $50 million, and it could grow, actually. And that means that we are qualified for major federal disaster assistance. At least 17 people died. Many people were trapped in illegal basement apartments. And this is something that is a huge problem. I'm going to tell you about what New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said about this momentarily. But Hochul says about 1,200 homes were hit hard in total in the New York area. But it, again, is those illegal dwellings that are really in the spotlight now. De Blasio said that he'll call for the emergency evacuation of tenants next time we have one of these big storms heading our way. That's his solution for making sure that people don't drown, to tell them to evacuate these illegal dwellings. However, he did not say that he would launch any kind of plan to crack down on these sometimes dangerous and always law-breaking landlords who run them. Meantime, the city opened 5 help centers in each borough to help people affected by the flooding. And we also have a heartbreaking video emerging. It's on social media right now. It shows NYPD officers wading through this mucky water. It was basically waist high. They were in a Queens basement, frantically searching for those living inside. You can see in this video that they tweeted out on social media, once again on Twitter, you can see a brown teddy bear floating by at one point. The footage was sent out by the NYPD with the caption, "An unconfirmed report of people in a flooded basement brought police to a Woodside home. Without special equipment, they made valiant efforts. Locked doors, rising water level, and live electricity forced the officers to call for the FDNY. Unfortunately, when specialized units arrived, they found 3 people died from the drowning. And in fact, those 3 people included that little boy, that 2-year-old boy, and his parents that we had been talking about on the news, which is just absolutely heartbreaking. This video is really hard to watch when you know what the result was and who was part of this 3-person group that died. Moving on now, reason 1,000,001 why you shouldn't be an arsonist. Like we have to give you any, but apparently we do. New video just released this weekend shows the moment a 28-year-old set a ticket booth on fire. It happened at the 18th annual Feast of Santa Rosalia Italian American Festival in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn last month. In the video, you see a guy. His name is Adnan Ali Hussein. He throws some sort of liquid into the booth and onto the booth. Then he takes what appears to be a lighter out of his pocket and ignites the thing. He didn't count on the fact, however, that the flames would ignite so quickly. And on the video, you see him jump back as though he's startled when the flames almost basically engulf him. Hussein was arrested September 2nd and charged with arson in the 3rd degree, reckless endangerment, and criminal mischief, according to police. And as we recover from the deadly Hurricane Ida, the Northeast is bracing once again, unfortunately. Hurricane Larry is expected to bring 125-mile-per-hour winds, heavy rainfall, and coastal flooding. But right now, this is to the island of Bermuda. So Bermuda is battening down the hatches and waiting for this Hurricane Larry to show up. And that could cause, though, some trouble here on the East Coast, including life-threatening surf and rip current conditions. I know that a lot of people, a lot of surfers, when I used to live in Long Beach, they loved going out during this crazy weather. Great surfing conditions, but unfortunately, it can be a big problem because many beaches in our area won't have lifeguards after the Labor Day weekend, obviously. So I guess just a warning, be aware and be vigilant if you plan on going into the surf. To national news now, as we head closer to the 20th anniversary of 9/11, President Joe Biden announced plans for the day. The president will hit up all three sites of the attack next Saturday: New York City, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. It's news that may not sit well, though, with some 9/11 families. Now, last month, you probably remember us talking about this. A group called Members of the 9/11 Community demanded that President Biden keep away from the events of the day. They're angry over documents that they say will prove that the Saudi government was behind the attacks. Now, documents the president so far has not released, although he did promise to do so when he was campaigning. On Friday, though, he ordered a declassification review of the material, prompting praise from some victims' families. And in the meantime, a former FBI agent is speaking out. He says he believes the Al-Qaeda operatives who were living in San Diego before they joined the 9/11 attack had help from a network of Saudi citizens living here in the U.S. Danny Gonzalez is this operative's name, FBI agent's name, rather, and he worked on Operation Encore, which looked into those two hijackers. There were two hijackers specifically that came from San Diego, if you remember these stories. Some of the documents relating to that operation, Operation Encore, are among the materials being released by the president. Gonzalez says he hopes the revelations being made public will help shed light on who was complicit in that tragedy. And more presidential news, not good news for the first couple. They are under fire once again for taking vacation while at least 200 Americans are still stranded in Afghanistan. The first couple flew down to Louisiana on Friday to survey the damage from Hurricane Ida and to, you know, go around the area meeting with victims, families. Afterwards, they headed up to the president's home state of Delaware ahead of the holiday weekend. Republicans criticized the commander-in-chief for being absent in times of crisis. White House officials say, though, he is able to deal with things at home just as easily as he would in Washington, D.C. Now, in much happier news for the first family, just days after paparazzi snapped pictures of them sunning themselves in Italy, Joe Biden's granddaughter Naomi announced her engagement to longtime boyfriend Peter Neal over the weekend on Instagram. Naomi is the daughter of Biden bad boy, I guess you could say, Hunter, and his ex-wife Kathleen. She was named after the president's late daughter, by the way, who would be Hunter's sister, who died along with the president's wife in a 1972 car crash. The 27-year-old Naomi is an attorney for an international law firm in D.C. Peter's LinkedIn site notes that he is a Juris Doctorate candidate, so it's not clear exactly what he does, but apparently he is some sort of lawyer, at least training to be some sort of lawyer. And speaking of presidents, former President Donald Trump is playing diplomat when it comes to answering questions about controversial abortion law, or the controversial abortion law that just passed in Texas last week. 45 was interviewed by journalist Cheryl Atkinson over the weekend. When asked if he agreed with the ruling, Trump dodged the question, calling it complex, but not giving an indication as to which way he leaned exactly. The full interview will air next Sunday on the public affairs show Full Measure. Meantime, Lyft and Uber rideshare companies say that its new driver legal defense fund will cover 100% of legal fees if their drivers get sued for taking women to abortion appointments in Texas. Now, we do need to get to some sports. Since it's Labor Day, nobody is working except for me, Deb, Molly's in there. I think Rob's in there. And so I guess I'm told that I do have to do sports. Is that correct? That is correct. Okay. So here we go. Rob, I was just talking to you. If I ask you any questions, you can just get on air live. Okay. Get on air. You and Molly, make sure that you're ready. Your mics are all ready to go just in case. So let's do a little bit of sports, shall we? The 77 WABC early news sports report. We're going to start off with the baseball diamond. The Mets pulled out all the stops against the Nationals. Four homers from the Mets for a total of 13 runs to the Nationals, six at this away game. The Yankees did not have the same luck falling to the Orioles. I have to say, I'm not too disappointed about that because I am a huge Orioles fan. Sanchez with two home runs, but the Yanks blew the lead, unfortunately, for Yanks fans, I guess. Moving on now, college football is in full swing. Did you guys see, Molly and Deb, if you're listening, and Rob, did you guys see those pictures of all the college football games in the stands, packed stands? I mean, just like a complete soup of potential COVID.
Anxiety soup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know some of the stadiums and some of the teams said that you had to show a vaccination card, which, you know, I guess is a good thing. But still, you can still spread this disgusting disease if you are vaccinated. But anyway, the U.S. men's national team may be sweating after. Oh, actually, I didn't go to the college football stuff. Sorry about that. It is in full swing. Number 9 Notre Dame keeps their rank after beating Florida State. And who are the teams to watch? Keep your eye on Georgia, Ohio State, and, of course, defending champs Alabama's Crimson Tide. Now we go to the U.S. men's national team. Maybe sweating after a tough World Cup qualifying match. The team's win came after a 54-minute 0-0 deadlock. The lone goal scored by Brendan Aaronson. And that is your 77 WABC Early News Sports Report. Let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens now with Tom Note. All right, we're waiting for Tom Note. So in the meantime, as we wait, we're going to get to some more headlines today. We are going to be doing On This Day at the bottom of the hour. I know I don't have Frank here with me, which is a bummer because I love going back and forth with him. But there are some pretty good ones today, so we'll get into that in a little bit. And speaking of sports, the ugly side of fame is getting a lot of attention from the tennis world's biggest stars. Just days after Naomi Osaka had an on-the-court meltdown, you might have seen that, she threw her racket down, cursed a little bit. Superstar Sloane Stephens, who is ranked 66th in the world in tennis, dumped a series of, I mean, these messages were just, not that I haven't seen anything similar sent to me, but I mean, it is pretty mind-blowing that people are actually adults and they send these types of things. But Sloane Stephens drops a bunch of these racist, sexist, threatening, vile messages that she's received from online trolls onto her Instagram account. The 28-year-old, who is black, by the way, decided to post the haters' messages to show exactly what she and other celebrities have to deal with, suggesting the abuse affects their mental health. Obviously, Naomi Osaka has had a lot of struggles with her mental health. It's, you know, she had to pull out of Wimbledon. She pulled out of all some other things. So, I mean, this is something that I think a lot of these tennis stars are now trying to deal with. Not seeing too much of that coming from other different sports. Seems like it's tennis that's really focusing on that. But if you read these things, I mean, it is pretty disgusting. And also some slightly shocking news about America's king of the gridiron, although maybe not if you recall the videos from that day. Superstar quarterback Tom Brady revealed over the weekend that he had tested positive for COVID shortly after his drunken escapades after the big Buccaneers Super Bowl win back in February when he was on that yacht. Do you remember that? Somebody had to actually help him walk off the yacht because he was so wasted. But anyway, he apparently did an interview and he said that he did test positive for COVID after that. Hey, Rob, do we have our traffic on the sevens?
Not yet, no.
Not yet? Okay, Mr. Note, you've got to get your act together over there, buddy. All right, let's go over to Israel now. There are hopes that the fourth time is the charm when it comes to the vaccine. And I wanted to give you guys an update on the vaccine, speaking of. Apparently, the country, Israel, is planning to give that fourth shot to help deal with new variants that seem to be gaining strength when it comes to breaking through the vaccine wall. Now, right now, they're in the process of giving third shot booster shots. The country's COVID czar told locals that they should probably expect a new vaccination shot every 5 to 6 months, the next one coming in the winter or spring. Now, it's not clear if the U.S. plans to follow suit, but it is definitely looking like that is going to be likely. We're still waiting on the third shot, the third booster shots. It could be coming. That program could be starting up pretty soon. Also, some new information out over the weekend, and it is quite stunning. Experts say the COVID death toll may be somewhere around 15 million worldwide. That is 3 times the official figure given out. Researchers point to the fact that deaths were likely undercounted in places like China and India, Russia, Latin America, and Africa. Another reason, some of those who died of COVID were simply never tested, and that includes people here in the United States as well, and also, you know, first world countries, I guess you could say. All right, as we wait for Tom Note and Traffic on the Sevens, I wanted to take a break. And before I do that, I wanted to give you a little bit of an idea as to what's coming up. We've got our Biz Buzz. Obviously, I'm in for Frank today doing the business report. We've got something. If you've ever dreamed about really impressing your family and friends, let me just tell you, I have the perfect idea for you. And also in your Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up at 5:40, we have some breaking news. Some more information about where Americans cannot travel now. You heard that the EU issued some guidelines to their 27 member countries last week. And unfortunately, some of those countries are actually taking those guidelines to heart. And it's not just applying to unvaccinated people. It's applying to vaccinated as well.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer, whose name I believe is Jim, we have determined. In your biz buzz, I am filling in for Frank today, obviously, and tomorrow as well. If you've been dreaming of something that you can do to really impress your family and friends, I mean, really impress your family and friends, how about this? How about buying a private island in Scotland? It is up for sale. And I got to tell you, it's not outrageously priced. Gold Crest Land and Forestry Group recently put this island, it's called the Isle of Carndies, on the market. Or Carndies, or I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, some Scottish name. And it is uninhabited right now. It's 22.5 acres. It's located on the western coast of Scotland within the Summer Isles, which is an archipelago that sits on the mouth of Lough Broom. There are no inhabitable structures quite yet on the island, but I mean, that's something that you can do yourself, obviously. But it is reportedly filled with an abundance of seabird and aquatic life, according to Goldcrest, and it is very green, lots of flora and fauna. The island also offers panoramic views of the neighboring islands and mountains. There are sea-based activities, obviously, that you can enjoy if you do buy your own private island, including sailing and scuba diving and fishing. I mean, it honestly sounds like a really nice place to buy. And then you can, like, if you're one of these outdoorsy types, which I'm really not, you can, you know, maybe have a get a boat and go back to the shore and get people to go over for a nice day on the beach. I don't know. Anglers apparently have been known to catch mackerel, cod, pollock, coalfish, whatever that is, lobsters, crabs, and more around this island. The waters are reportedly frequented by porpoises, dolphin, whales, basking sharks, and otters. Sounds absolutely lovely, and it can be yours for the price of $70,000, which doesn't seem so bad to me, frankly. And another great story. I really like this one. Apparently, there is a pizza chef, an Italian guy. He actually comes from Rome. He's over in he's in New York, and during the pandemic, you know, he wasn't really able to run restaurants, so he started to barter his pizza creations in exchange for other things during the pandemic, during the lockdown. His name is Chef Gabriel LaMonica, and his decision to do this bartering deal gave him a chance not only to give other people a chance to try his creations, but it helped pave the way for his dream pizza shop. Unregular Pizza, it's called. LaMonica says that he wanted to try out different combinations of toppings while he was at home, things that are a little bit unusual, hence Unregular Pizza. Now he has somebody who is the head of marketing and communications for Unregular Pizza, so he's obviously doing a pretty good job. This person suggested that they create an Instagram page, which is, of course, something that you have to do now, to showcase the creations that LaMonica was making at home in his Midtown apartment. Their friends found out about it after the images hit social media, and they started requesting slices for themselves, and they started offering some of the things that they do. So he started hand-delivering the pizzas directly to friends' apartments for free, and then they would return the favor with homemade cocktails and then other things. And the exchanges started primarily with food, homemade pasta, gelato, barbecue, Chinese food, whatever, and then they started to create essentially this huge network of people just bartering things. So exactly 1 year after their first barter, on May 18th, 2021, LaMonica and his business partner opened up Unregular Pizza. And they've kept up their bartering tradition ever since, offering trades 3 to 4 times a week. So, and by the way, if you happen to watch that show Million Dollar Listing on Bravo, Ryan Serhant, you know, one of the real estate agents there, for one of the latest barters, the crew at Unregular Pizza got to team up with Ryan Serhant, who bartered a cocktail party at a luxurious penthouse in Harlem for pizza, which is very cool. And that was your biz buzz. And hopefully we have Tom Note. Is Tom available with traffic on the 7s?
We're working on it.
They're working on it. Well, okay, Tom. We're going to check back with you hopefully at the bottom of the hour, maybe at the top of the hour. I don't know. But in the meantime, I'm guessing that there are a lot of not a lot of people out on the roads right now. So I wish I could give you some updates, but I'm not really sure how I can do that since I don't have my hands on some of these traffic systems. Deb, do you have any idea how we can look at traffic updates?
You know, you can go to NJ511 and they will show you the traffic cams all over the place. And now, being a holiday, of course, I would think that alternate side of the street parking is suspended. But you are right. Not a lot of people out there on the roads this morning anyway.
Well, you drove in today, yeah?
I drove in and I'm wondering if I'm parked on 50th Street. Now, the sign says nobody can park there except for commercial parking. Between the hours of 7 a.m. and, I think it's midnight. And it doesn't say except holidays, so I think I have to move my car.
Oh, that's kind of a pain in the neck.
Yeah, it kind of is. Oh, believe me.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know the feeling. I know whenever we have to stay late for the meetings, it's, you know, it's $30 to park in those garages.
I know it. I think it's up to 37 over here on the corner now.
Yeah, 37, exactly.
And some of the garages, of course, you can use the app. But in this area over on the East End, try and find a garage that'll let you in at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, it's
okay. They claim to be 24/7. They're not.
No, I know.
Believe me.
Well, you know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go up and start beeping. They're supposed to leave a little thing out for you, though. You know,
right? A bell or something. The bells don't work. They're broken. And believe me, the guys
or a
are
phone
sleeping.
Number or something.
Yeah, you call the number, they don't answer.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
If what are we going to do, Juliet?
Well, here's what we're going to do, because we can't get in touch with Tom Note for some reason, for some ungodly reason. Here's what I'm going to do. If you're out driving and you have any, you run into any traffic, just tweet me at JetSetJuliet and let me know.
There
I think
go.
That's what we can do.
And Juliet,
I know Tanya Ryman, the body language expert, is out right now, but she's out on the island, so there's probably not a lot going on. But Tanya, if you're listening to me, you want to tell me how the LAE is looking?
Well, I'll tell you, Route 3 was good this morning. I saw about three other vehicles and maybe one or two other people coming through the Lincoln Tunnel. The city
All right.
was quiet. So.
All right, not so bad. Well, before we get to your headlines, let me just give you a little tease about what's happening coming up on the Jet Set Juliet travel update. We do have quite a bit of breaking news, and it's not good news. It's crazy because I had a friend who left for his vacation. I think it's like 2 weeks. He just got into a country that is now not letting Americans come in at all. Just got in the day before they decided to close up shop to Americans. So I'm going to tell you which country that is. There are actually several countries that are banning all Americans. But that is going to be coming up at 5:40. Do we have Tom Note? Is that why I hear the traffic?
Yes.
Okay, let's get over to traffic. Thanks, Tom. Here you go.
We've got our first crash of the morning reported. It's on the Belt in Queens, heading east on the Belt Parkway, right by the branch off for Sunrise Highway. Two lanes are blocked. And even though traffic volume is lighter than normal, this is backing things up to at least Springfield Boulevard. No problems going west through the remainder of Queens and on into Brooklyn. Everything looks good getting into and out of the city at all the Hudson River crossings. Alternate side parking rules and metered rules are suspended for the holiday today. Metro North is on a weekend schedule, LIRR on a holiday schedule. New Jersey Transit's on a weekend major holiday schedule. City subways and buses are following a Sunday schedule today. I'm Tom Note from the WABC Traffic Center.
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first. WABC. WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays. From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Two big unemployment benefits expire today, with a total of almost 9 million people losing benefits. That includes 2.1 million Americans who are affected, losing that extra $300 per week, and 6.8 million self-employed and gig workers. Gig workers, those independent contractors or freelancers, lose benefits as well. Residents of Lake Tahoe being allowed back into their homes. Winds have died down, lessening the threat that California wildfires will reach there. President Joe Biden will be in New York and New Jersey tomorrow. Here's New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
We'll do all that we can in the state, but we need the federal government in a big way. I'm confident they will be there for us, and I'm looking forward to having the president with us on Tuesday and seeing it up close with our own eyes.
President Biden will tour sections of Queens and hard-hit Millville, New Jersey. 27 dead in New Jersey, 4 missing. 11 people in basement apartments in New York City died during Ida. A Labor Day 2021. Fox's Evan Brown has a few details.
The idea was the brainchild of labor leader Peter J. McGuire, who brought the idea to the New York Central Labor Union in 1892.
And McGuire, a carpenter and labor union leader, on September 5th, 1882, the first parade took place right here in New York City, down to Union Square. And that's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center right now. 70 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Tom Noe coming up with traffic and transit. I'm Deborah Valentine.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Frank is on break. He's going to be on vacation until Wednesday morning. He'll be back here Wednesday morning, so you're stuck with me. But also, we've got the wonderful Deb Valentine. Molly is in the control room. So is Rob. So we're all jamming today. And you know what time it is. This is one of my favorite times of the day. It is On This Day time. Today is September 6th. And on this day, September 6th, 1492, explorer Christopher Columbus sets out for the New World from his supply base in the Canary Islands. At the time, the Canaries were ruled by the Kingdom of Castile, which is now part of Spain. European explorers continued to use the Canaries, by the way, as kind of a jumping off spot, if you will. And on this day, September 6, 1522, another explorer to talk about, the Magellan Expedition, arrives back in Spain, completing the first circumnavigation of the world. 3 years earlier, Ferdinand Magellan, who had been appointed admiral of the Spanish fleet by King Charles I of Spain, set off with his armada. It was 5 ships, hundreds of men, all bound for the Spice Islands, or what is now Indonesia. The Victoria was the only ship to return after, I mean, obviously, these are explorers and they're discovering the new world, basically. Brutal conditions. I mean, these men went through starvation, scurvy, and the murder of Magellan himself, which killed off much of the passengers. It really wasn't a murder. It was like a killing because there was a whole deal. But Magellan was killed by a poison arrow after helping a chief on an island in the Philippines fight a rival tribe. So he gets with the poison arrow and he's done. So the exhibition is considered one of the most important events in history thanks to the science and the socioeconomic and political and philosophic and theological information that it gleaned and it brought back to the old world. On this day, September 6, 1628, the first Puritans arrived around Salem, Massachusetts. These were the people who wanted to stay within the Church of England but purify it, unlike the Pilgrims. Unfortunately for the Puritans, King Charles I was not keen on purifying the Catholic Church and the Church of England, rather, and they, along with the Pilgrims, who stood in outright opposition to the Church, decided to set sail for the New World here in America. 2 years later, another group arrived on several different ships. They were led by John Winthrop, who wanted to build a city upon a hill, and he did. Today, it's known as Boston. And on this day in 1651, the future King Charles II of England hides all day in an oak tree, escaping after his loss against the Roundheads. Those were the supporters of Oliver Cromwell who fought against the king in the English Civil War. And on this day in 1666, finally, the Great Fire of London is extinguished. It started just a few days before. I think this was on like the second. I think it was Friday. I was telling you about this when it started. But in the end, it destroyed 80% of London, including 13,200 houses, 87 churches, including St. Paul's Cathedral. And it displaced more than 70,000 people in a city of 80,000. As I mentioned on Friday, it started at a bakery on Pudding Lane, just north of London Bridge, where a monument stands today. And we'll get to some more of the On This Days a little bit later on in the show. But in the meantime, let's head over to Traffic on the 7th with Tom Noe.
For the most part, and as expected, traffic volume is extremely light. There is one exception, though. There's a bit of a backup on the Belt Parkway in Queens, courtesy of an accident heading east by the branch off for Sunrise Highway. Two lanes are blocked. We're getting reports of slowdowns back through Springfield Boulevard. The westbound lanes are wide open through both Queens and Brooklyn. No problems up the Gowanus from the Belt Parkway merge onto the BQE back up into Queens. All your river crossings are fine. Alternate side parking rules and metered rules are suspended today. If you're going to be taking mass transit, New Jersey Transit is on a weekend major holiday schedule. City subways are on a Sunday schedule. It's a holiday schedule for LIRR, a weekend schedule on Metro North. I'm Tom Note from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Mr. Note. And according to Tanya Ryman, legendary body language expert, she is, I think she said that she was by the LIE and there's no traffic around exit 55. So there you go, a personalized traffic situation there. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you the biz buzz as I am in for Frank and also your Jet Set Juliet travel update. I do have some good stuff to talk about, though. I know there's a lot of bad stuff with Americans not being allowed into certain countries in Europe, but I do have some good news as well.
Both sides are exhausted and all excuses have been used. Entertaining and informative.
Good luck, guys.
Brian Kilmeade. Tired of the anti-American rhetoric. It means absolutely nothing. Weekdays 10 to noon. Talk Radio 77. WABC. The News Talk leader for New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and the world.
You're getting judged for everything.
They're out of their minds.
Stop pointing fingers.
I have a completely different perspective.
Get woke.
The best and the brightest.
An American original. Talk Radio 77 WABC and WABCRadio.com. All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Good morning, everyone. WABC Early News time is 5:40. Usually this is when I do my Jet Set Juliet travel update, but I wanted to do the biz buzz for Frank. He is off. He'll be back on Wednesday, as I've told you. General Motors is shutting down production at most of its North American plants for a week or two starting next week as a chip shortage takes another bite out of its plans. Apparently, chips are few and far between. GM and some other automakers had hoped that this chip shortage would be mostly behind them, but the surge in COVID cases, especially in Southeast Asia, where a lot of these chip manufacturers are based, has actually made it worse for automakers. Only a small handful of GM plants will remain in operation during this pause. And looks like quite a few companies are sort of fighting back against this Texas law that bans abortion from as early as 6 weeks pregnancy. Lyft and Uber, as I told you earlier, are promising to pay 100% of any legal fees that any of their drivers are slapped with if they are busted by their fellow man in finding out that they've taken somebody to an abortion appointment. Bumble, by the way, which is based in the state capital of Austin and is led by a female CEO, said Wednesday that it has created a fund supporting the reproductive rights of women and people across gender spectrum who seek abortions in Texas. And the CEO goes on to say that Bumble is women founded and women led. And they say from day one, we've stood up for the most vulnerable and will keep fighting against regressive laws. This according to Twitter. Also, Match Group is headquartered in Texas. That's the Dallas-based company that owns Match.com and other dating sites like Tinder, Plenty of Fish, OkCupid, and Hinge. The CEO of Match says that she is creating a fund to ensure that employees and their dependents will be able to seek care outside of the state. And that's your biz buzz, and that leads right into your Jet Set Juliet travel update. And we have to start with some breaking news. I have to take a sip of my coffee here. Thanks to the current COVID situation here in the United States, Americans are essentially banned from traveling to Bulgaria. I mentioned that last week. I have a feeling that's not going to freak too many people out. But that said, what is coming next might. Over the weekend, more countries put us on the no-go list. The Netherlands, which is home to one of the coolest cities in the world, obviously Amsterdam, it will not let unvaccinated Americans in. If you're fully vaccinated, you're still essentially being banned, I gotta say. Only they're doing it in a much nicer way. I love those Amsterdam folks, those Netherlands folks. They're so kind. So if you are vaccinated, you can go to the Netherlands, but you immediately have to quarantine for 10 days. You can exit quarantine on the fifth day if you test negative. But I mean, really, who wants to spend 5 days hunkered down on vacation? Not me. I mean, you can't even leave. So that is pretty much X on Amsterdam and the Netherlands. Starting today, Sweden is banning all Americans, period, regardless of vaccination status. Thank you, Sweden. And just a reminder, starting last week, Italy once again is requiring Americans to show proof of a negative PCR or antigen test taken within 72 hours of travel. Now, I went back to Italy in June with my husband. This was on one of those COVID flights, and we had to take a test within 72 hours. It had to be negative so that when we got to the airport, we could show them that it was negative. Then once we when we got to JFK, and then once we arrived in Rome's airport, we also had to take another test there. And then we had to take another test prior to leaving Italy. So that is probably what you're going to have to do if you decide to go to Italy. So today I'm starting a series on the absolute best places for the quintessential fall foliage experience. I'm hoping these descriptions will inform and inspire you. Today we're going to start with Europe, and then we're going to sort of work our way back to the United States later on in the week. Number one, great place to see fall foliage in Europe is Madrid. The Spanish capital has some of the most beautiful, unique architecture. If you happen to have been there, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is like some of the most gorgeous architecture on the planet. And the parks surrounding those structures are often even more stunning, frankly. You can take a stroll down the Paseo del Prado, which is an elegant promenade smack dab in the center of the city. It's dotted with fountains. It's lined on either side by cedar trees, and it connects what's called the Golden Triangle, which is three of the city's finest museums. When you're done strolling, you could stop into the luxurious Ritz Hotel, which I believe is actually operated by Mandarin Oriental now, but it is kind of the legendary hotel there, where you can have champagne and caviar in the intimate 8-seat champagne bar. That sounds a little expensive, but, you know, if you want to splurge. Or you can have afternoon tea in the beautiful and buzzy Palm Court restaurant, which is kind of right out there. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful spot. Finish the afternoon off with a walk through the stunning Buen Retiro, which is a massive park nearby featuring the Crystal Palace, set in an iron framework and made almost entirely of glass. It's absolutely beautiful. And I know we're running a little bit late, but we're kind of doing things my way today. So we'll get to sports in a minute. But the second place I want to tell you about, which is a great place to plan your fall foliage trip if you feel like splurging, would be Edinburgh. Edinburgh, Scotland is one of the most underrated cities, I think, when it comes to American tourist interests. I mean, yes, it sees American tourists, but, you know, most Americans automatically think of London when it comes to soaking up the royal vibe. But for your second trip, I would definitely go here, especially if you're traveling in the fall. One of the most beautiful parks in all of Scotland, really in all of the United Kingdom, is right in the center of Edinburgh, Holyrood Park. Excuse me, Holyrood Park. Surrounds the palace of the same name, Holyrood. And it dates back to the 1100s. Queen Elizabeth II actually spends a week at the palace at the start of every summer. She does a lot of ceremonial things there. But back in the 1500s, it was home to Mary, Queen of Scots, the ill-fated queen. You can visit her apartments, including the rooms where she met the fiery John Knox, who was the founder of the Presbyterian Church, and he sat there lambasting her. And also where her friend, the royal courtier David Rizzio, was murdered by none other than Mary's husband, Lord Darnley, because he wrongly thought that Mary and David were having an affair. After you tour the palace, you can head out onto the grounds of Holyrood to an area called Arthur's Seat. This is the highest of the seven hills that make up Holyrood Park. And it is incredible for three reasons. Number one, the panoramic view of the entire city of Edinburgh is absolutely incredible. Number two, this is crazy. The hill is actually an ancient volcano. And number three, it's mentioned as one of the possible sites of Camelot, which was, of course, home to King Arthur's court, legendarily. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update. I'll continue with a couple other places tomorrow in Europe that I think are incredible places to go if you want to see, well, just incredible places to go, period, but also if you want to see the fall foliage really, really in effect. And again, that is coming tomorrow. And I will also do some other areas around the world, ending up in the United States, actually ending up here in New York. In the meantime, we're going to get to sports in just a second, but let's head over to traffic on the 7s now with Tom Miller.
For this Labor Day Monday, we're looking at very light traffic overall so far. There is one slowdown on the Belt Parkway. There's an accident in Queens going east, blocking two lanes by the ramp to Sunrise Highway. There's a brief delay in the area, a bit slow back through Springfield Boulevard. Traffic is fine in all the other boroughs and in New Jersey and Long Island. If you're taking mass transit, we have city subways following a Sunday schedule, New Jersey Transit on a weekend major holiday schedule.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer. Hey, Molly, you there?
Of course I am.
Hi, Mol. Thank you very much for doing such a great job writing up this sports report.
Well, I'm glad that I give the impression that I know what I'm talking about.
You do know what you're talking about. You're a sports person.
No, not at all. I don't know where that reputation came from.
I thought I heard that you were a sports person.
No, I think I just stepped up one day and did sports just to get it done.
I mean, this is, I have to say, for somebody who is not, you know, Miss Sports, this is a great script. I love it.
I think you absorb a lot of knowledge when you hang out with people that like sports a lot. So
that's probably true.
Maybe the energy of the station.
You even write it very active. I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's get to the Molly written sports report. The 77 WABC Early News sports report, I should say, written by Molly. We're going to start on the baseball diamond with the New York Mets. They pulled out all the stops against the Nationals. Four homers for a total of 13 runs to the Nationals 6 at the away game. Yankees did not have the same luck. I think we're kind of expecting this at this point. They fell to the Orioles, my O's. Sanchez with two home runs, but the Yanks blew the lead. Actually, I'm going to give you an honest day a little bit later on that has to do with the Orioles. College football, meantime, is in full swing, as we saw with all of the sardines packed into the COVID soup over the weekend in the stands there. Number 9 Notre Dame keeps their rank after beating Florida State. And who are the teams to watch? Keep your eye on Georgia, Ohio State, and, of course, defending champs, Alabama's Crimson Tide. The U.S. men's national team may be sweating after a tough World Cup qualifying match. The team's win came after a 54-minute 0-0 deadlock, the lone goal scored by Brendan Aaronson. And that is your 77 WABC Early News Sports Report. Let's get back to some news, shall we? I wanted to get into a couple of stories that hit near and dear to my heart. It's a battle of the anchortainers, as I like to call them. I want this term to really go, I want it to go viral, anchortainer. What I mean by that is that these days we're inundated with TV news anchors who really, I mean, when you compare it to like 30 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, they've done like a 180 when it comes to just classic objective reporting. Rather than just report the story, you know, the facts, they are the story. You see it everywhere. And I have to say, I was one of these people. I was. You see it on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, you know, the networks. It's the antithesis of everything that you learn in journalism school. But the reality is, it's what the audience wants. They want opinions, not objectivity. Unfortunately, because the latter is, objectivity is not very entertaining. Hence, anchortainer. Two of the top anchortainers today are CNN's Jim Acosta and Fox's Tucker Carlson, who are now in a battle royale over each's coverage and comments. Over the weekend, Acosta lambasted Carlson for claiming that Biden is flooding swing states with grateful Afghan refugees to help swing future elections. Acosta calling Carlson human manure spreading. No response yet from Carlson, but then again, his show, I guess I'm going to say he's probably on vacation until at least tomorrow. So let's see what he has to say tomorrow. But I love these little battle royales. It's so not the way we were taught it should be. But again, this is the way people like it. To Nevada's Black Rock Desert now, where thousands of music loving revelers headed for this year's unofficial Burning Man Festival. Probably heard of this festival. It's usually got great music. It's out in the desert. Typically, the official festival was canceled back in April because of COVID concerns. So rebellious fans just decided to throw their own event. Renegade Man, as they're calling it, is now competing with a virtual Burning Man. It's all very confusing, but local officials in Nevada say this is a recipe for disaster with unsanitary conditions and too many partygoers all expected to camp out in nature with no food, no water, no restrooms or waste removal provided. They're going to have to deal with all of that on their own. This is truly, yeah, this is a recipe for big trouble. Pandemic experts, meantime, say the recipe for disaster description is an understatement. Okay, moving on now. We've got some royal news. Do we have a royal alert? I hope we do. The royal rebels, otherwise known as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, have apparently stunned the monarchy once again. What did they do this time, those royal rebels? Well, they dared to request a meeting with the Queen, who, of course, is Harry's grandmother. I never, you know, it's hard to think about the fact that you can't just call Granny up and say, hi, can we fly out and meet you? Because she's the queen, and I guess you just don't do that, which is kind of sad. Insiders say royal aides are simply gobsmacked over the request, which they say is quite impertinent, given the fact that they have, you know, had some sort of questionable escapades recently, especially that Oprah interview. But supporters of the couple say they simply want to introduce the queen to their baby daughter, Lilibet Diana, which, of course, the name, a nod to the queen's nickname, Lilibet, and Harry's mom, the late Princess Diana. A source told the UK paper The Sun that there hasn't been any response so far, but many inside Buckingham Palace find the request quite nervy. Meantime, the good prince and princess, Harry's big brother William and his wife Kate, and I say that jokingly because, I mean, they're not that perfect. Well, they are the apple of Britain's eye, at least. That's the way the British media treats them. The couple has announced its royal foundation will be making an active effort now to recruit a more diverse workforce. The move comes a few months, of course, after Harry and Meghan accused the royal family of racism. And in a much happier family news now, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is a dad. He and his husband, Chasen, welcomed twins over the weekend. Buttigieg is the first openly gay cabinet member confirmed by the Senate and obviously the first to have a child. The two revealed earlier this year that they had been trying to adopt for a while. They actually have twins. Their names are Penelope Rose and Joseph August. So congratulations. Moving over to Hollywood now, where another marriage has just imploded. This one, Kaley Cuoco, who is the adorable blonde. She announced over the weekend that she and her hubby, Carl Cook, are OVA. The two had been married since 2018, but apparently things went downhill, obviously. Lucky for her, there is a prenup. A source says the Big Bang Theory star has a, quote, ironclad prenup in place, suggesting that the money that she made during her marriage to Cook would not be part of his newly single bank account. Cuoco was previously married to Ryan Sweeting, who I believe was a tennis pro or a tennis star. I don't know. I don't follow tennis. She tied the knot with him in 2013, and they broke up in 2016. So she's kind of following the Jet Set Juliet marriage situation. Hopefully she doesn't have as many as I do. But, you know, for me, the fourth time was the charm.